revolution needs a war, and this war needs a revolutionary fight for your rights. The Constitution speaks of speech that's free. Open your mouth from sea to shining sea. But will the real Americans please stand up? No more eyes, your face in the sand. Will the real Americans please stand up? Divided, we're falling.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. We are live with Lori Anderson of the RDR Truth Media Group on RBN Network. Welcome back this beautiful June 5th, 2018. I have some interesting information to bring to you this evening. First, I want to say thank you so very much with Eric Hughes Jones and Tom also as well, who joined on Friday. You all have done an amazing job, and you will, of course, continue to hear from Eric further this week. I appreciate him taking a stand in for me, and he will be helping me as the days continue to go by with the situations that are going on. However, some very interesting information has come out, and I want to bring to your attention the freedom of assembly. So many times on the First Amendment, many people forget that freedom of assembly. Freedom of assembly is extremely important, not just the First Amendment for freedom of religion and freedom of the press and freedom of speech. A lot of people forget about the freedom of assembly. And it is so important to understand freedom of assembly because it's not just for to be able to petition or protest against the government. It's for each and every one of us as individuals. We have an individual right to assemble with whom we choose. And that is going to bleed into a later topic after I read to you a couple of words out of the Freedom of Assembly. This is from ConstitutionCenter.org, and this is what is said on there. The right of the people to peaceably assemble and petition the government for redress of grievances, unquote, protects two distinct rights, the assembly and petition. The clause's reference to a singular right has led some courts and scholars to assume that it protects only the right to assemble in order to petition the government. But the comma after the word assemble is residual from earlier drafts that made clear the founders' intention to protect two separate rights. For example, debates in the House of Representatives during the adoption of the Bill of Rights linked assembly to the arrest and trial of William Penn for participating in collective religious worship that had nothing to do with petitioning the government. While neither assembly nor petition is synonymous with speech, the modern Supreme Court treats both as subsumed with an expansive speech right, often called freedom of expression. Many scholars believe that focusing singularly on the expansive idea of speech undervalues the importance of providing independent protection to the remaining textual First Amendment rights, including assembly and petition, which are designed to serve distinctive ends. Now, the only thing I would say is it's not First Amendment rights, it's limitation upon government. You have an unalienable right, and the First Amendment confirms those rights. So under assembly, it says, assembly is the only right listed in the First Amendment that requires more than a lone individual for its exercise. One can, of course, speak alone, but one cannot assemble alone. Moreover, while some assemblies occur spontaneously, most do not. For this reason, the assembly right extends to preparatory activity leading up to the physical act of assembling, protections later recognized by the Supreme Court as a distinct right of association, which does not appear in the text of the First Amendment. The right of assembly often involves nonverbal communication, including the message conveyed by the very existence of the group, demonstration, a picket line, or a parade conveys more than words on a place card or the chants of the crowd. Assembly is, moreover, truly free, since it allows individuals to engage in mass communication powered solely by sweat equity, unquote. The right to assemble has been a crucial legal and cultural protection for dissenting and unorthodox groups. The Democratic Republican Society, suffragists, abolitionists, religious organization, labor activists, and civil rights groups have all invoked the right to assemble in protest against prevailing norms. When the Supreme Court extended the right of assembly beyond the federal government to the states in its unanimous 1937 decision of Dijon v. Oregon, it recognized that, quote, the right of peaceable assembly is a right cognate to those of free speech and free press and is equally fundamental, unquote. The right of assembly gained particular prominence in the tributes to the Bill of Rights as the United States entered the Second World War. Eminent 20th century Americans, including Dorothy Thompson, Zachariah Chaffee, Louis Brandeis, John Dewey, Orson Welles, Eleanor Roosevelt, all emphasized the significance of the assembly right. At a time when civil liberties were at the forefront of public consciousness, assembly figured prominently as one of the original four freedoms, along with speech, press, and religion. When, however, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt switched to a different grouping of the, quote, four freedoms, in an effort to rally support for the American entry into World War II, assembly and press dropped out. Neglect of assembly as a freestanding right has continued ever since. In fact, Supreme Court has not decided a case explicitly on free assembly grounds in over 30 years, but despite its recent state of hibernation, the freedom to assemble peaceably remains integral to what Justice Robert Jackson once called, quote, the right to differ, unquote. So this is going to be very relevant to what we are discussing tonight in the public school systems. The indoctrination of your children in the public school system has now been ramped up out in, of course, the state of California. LGBTQ and a group going by CAGC. The CAGC clinic represents a partnership between UCSF, Benioff Children's Hospital, Mind the Gap Mental Health Network, and Gender Spectrum, and National Center for Lesbian Rights, NCLR. The UCSF, Benioff Children's Hospital Division of Pediatric Endocrinology, ranked among the top of 10 such programs nationally in 2014 and 15. U.S. News and World Report provides comprehensive indoctrinated medical care in collaboration with adolescent medicine and primary care. Stephen Rosenthal, MD, Professor of Pediatrics and Pediatric Indoctrinated Program Director, serves as the medical director of the CAGC. Alina Sharir, MD, UCSF-trained primary care physician, serves as the assistant medical director of the CAGC and is developing comprehensive tools to educate primary care providers in the nuisance care of gender-diverse youth. Meredith Russell, NP, and Molly Corrine, MSW, provide sensitive nursing and social work support, respectively, to our patients and families. Why am I bringing them up? Because the Child and Adolescent Gender Center, or the CAGC, is a collaboration between the UCSF, Benioff Children's Hospital, and community organizations dedicated to the health and well-being of transgender and other gender-expansive children, but their mission is to push it into the schools. And I'm going to let you hear what wonderful Grindall once again, Gary Galino, was live once again in California, Orange County, at the Orange Unified School District. Parents and teachers are standing up against this indoctrination, and some of it very dangerous, to the children that they want to teach. So before I get to that clip of where Gary Gallino recorded that on May 30th, 2018, just a couple of days ago, I want to read this to you. Ed Code 51932B says, quote, parents may not opt out or excuse their child from any instruction that discusses gender identity or expression, unquote. The CSVA AR 6142.1 also states that there is no opt out. Also through the Ed Code 51932 Section B, the instruction can be for any grade level, and parents do not need to be notified ahead of time when instruction is given. Understand, this is past indoctrination. What they are pushing in this quote-unquote sex education curriculum is past disgusting and harmful. It is mere child abuse in my eyes. And I will let you hear and see what you think. And I want to thank again Gary Gallino, also known as Grindall61. You can find him on YouTube. He's also going to be speaking at the Red Pill Expo. If you're deciding to go to the Red Pill Expo June 21st through the 23rd, when you go to purchase your tickets, don't forget, if you want a 15% discount off your tickets, just type in code Galeno, G-I-L-E-N-O, and you will get 15% off. Mike, if you would, please play LV1. This is Gary Gallino interviewing Joe Imbriano of the Fullerton Informer. They were both there May 30th, 2018 at the Orange Unified School District in an emergency meeting being held about this sex education curriculum. Mike, if you would, please play LV1.
Today is May the 30th, 2018. I am here with Joe Imbriano, the Fullerton Informer. We are outside the Orange Unified School District. What are we doing here today, Joe?
Well, we're hoping to influence the Board of Trustees to, after having called an emergency meeting to address parental concerns over curriculum, we're hoping to get this Board of Trustees to vote to block the implementation of some of the very controversial sex ed curriculum. And there were quite a parade of speakers at the last meeting, and there was an overwhelming consensus in the room that a lot of this curriculum is inappropriate, even medically and factually inaccurate. So what they did is they agreed to call an emergency meeting to halt the implementation of this curriculum, and tonight they're going to take a vote on whether to delay this implementation until further notice or to roll it out in a couple of days here for some of the students in the Orange Unified School District. We hope to influence them to do the right thing, and hopefully there'll be some people here tonight that will bring more factual evidence and information to the platform that will be discussed here, and they can make an educated choice on the right thing for these children.
So if you peel it back, what's it really about? OUSD Board, let me ask you this question. Do you know what a sex dam is? Until I started this journey, I had no idea. So let me tell you what it stated on the very program OUSD is using to educate our children. Sex dams can be used for oral sex, mouth, on your vagina, anus, or testicles. Oh, and if you don't know where to buy one, Teen Talk will tell you how to make one. Additionally, Teen Talk will also let them know where they can get a free penis and sex toy. I've actually printed that information out for you guys. So, I'm asking you, board members, this sexual lesson will also be taught to your kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews. So ask yourself this, can you look at them and say, yes, I support this program? This fact is absolutely the parents' right to talk about these type of activities and their moral values. Why am I made to be okay with these type of lessons? Because society is changing, so I must sacrifice my core values. We need to stop this now, or our next fight is going to be against a person who identifies best not wearing clothes because it causes them anxiety, so they need to bring their therapy monkey with them wherever they go. Well, you think I might be exaggerating. In 1940, if you told my grandmother one day our schools would teach her great-grandson about sex dams for anal use, she probably would have thought we were exaggerating. but we're not. Our rights as parents are being taken away, and our children's innocence is being violated just like mine was. And just as my mom did, I'm not going to step aside and pretend it's okay. Thank you. I'd like to share an experience, and I want to thank the community for coming out and sharing your views. That's what we want. We represent you, so we want to hear your thoughts. Whether we may agree with them or not, that doesn't matter. We want to represent you. And so this is not a typical curriculum such as geometry or math. This is something that is very close to home with fundamental core values. And I just want to share with you, because I have done extensive research in this, and I have read through the curriculum probably tens of times, both the APEX and also the Teen Talk. And as I read through it, I noticed that, wow, this is definitely some different information than we've ever had before in the past, due to the 8329 law. And so I could understand why this would be controversial, and as it was demonstrated tonight, such as, now I do believe that I did read the revisions that Orange Unified did do, and the sexual orientation and gender identity, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe I'm correct on this, that every page that was in that section has remained the same. No page has been taken out of that particular section. Correct.
We removed the videos.
And the videos, yes. But none of the actual hard copies.
There's only one handout in that section, and I believe the gentleman, again, that reviewed it with me today mentioned that he thought we should work on that handout. So there's one section.
Well, in the paper I had it in full. So I could see how there's controversy in different viewpoints, because on page 84 on Teen Talk, when it does introduce the queer umbrella, and it does talk about different gender identities that are very new to people as I bring them up to parents and talk about them, because many people haven't heard of them. So besides transgender, there's also gender fluid, where you can fluctuate between male and female on any given day, hour, or week. There's agender or gender neutral, meaning that you do not identify as either male or female, so you would go with a new pronoun, which would be Z. You can be male and female at the same time. This is part of the gender queer umbrella, meaning that you would go with a pronoun of they, them, or theirs. So these are new and different ideas that we've had before. Part of Teen Talk, there's a footnote in it, and I will just read it straight out from genderspectrum.org. It says, a child may have a non-binary gender identity, meaning they do not identify strictly as a boy or girl. They could identify as both, or neither, or another gender entirely. Agender people do not identify with any gender, and the descriptors for gender identities are rapidly changing, and there's a growing vocabulary for gender. So when you go to the gender-bred person on the PowerPoint presentation given to our 7th and 8th grade middle schoolers, you will see the first thing that pops up is it's not limited. Genders are not limited to this. So it's very open-ended as far as what gender can be. So in looking at this and many other aspects that I could see could be controversial, I dug into ACLU, their toolkit, which was a California Healthy Youth Act advocacy toolkit. And when they were expressing, it was for parents specifically, and it says here on page 4, talking to parents, say, talk to others in your community about the kinds of sexual health education students are receiving. And by the way, I don't think there's anybody here that doesn't want sex education. Okay, we all want sex education because it's necessary, it's needed, and we want to protect our kids, okay? But it says that 89% of the California parents support comprehensive sexual health education, speaking in the context of 8329. This blew my mind. So I'm like, wow, we're talking about queer umbrella and all these other things in here, that pansexuality, asexuality, things that many parents have never heard of before, and yet we have an 89% approval rate given by ACLU. So I looked at the footnote, and it was a study done in Berkeley by Norman Constantine, and I thought I would go ahead and contact Norman Constantine from Berkeley. So I asked him, would you please send me the survey, the parent survey? It was a 24-page data parent survey, and he very graciously sent that to me over email. I read it and was very surprised. There was not one question about gender identity, nothing on gender spectrum, nothing on asexuality, pansexuality. Anal sex was never mentioned. Oral anal sex was never mentioned. Some of the most, you would say, controversial aspects were not on this 24-page survey. So then I looked at the survey and saw that it was dated 2007. Okay, this law was passed in 2015 and implemented in 2016 based on a 2007 survey. So I am, yes, I am a little skeptical when I see things like this because I find it deceptive.
Yeah.
I do want to mention that I used to be a teacher in Lawrence Unified School District for several years, so I know a lot of teachers in Lawrence Unified. And I do know we have fantastic teachers here. And I am friends with many of those teachers. And if I understand correctly, when training was happening from our San Francisco trainers that came to train our teachers, there was a bit of a revolt that happened with the teachers in that they were not too happy about some of these things they thought they needed to teach, and so there had to be a little bit of intervention. I just want to say that not all the teachers are gung-ho about this, and I know that on a first-hand basis. I do want to mention also, and maybe we can bring in Mr. Spencer on this, concerning the law, because I am somebody who wants to follow the law, of course. And part of this law of 8329 is that it needs to be medically accurate, and any contraceptives that are given an instruction for students need to be FDA approved. And I want to quote from the National Coalition of STD Directors from Washington, D.C., from one of the articles. It says, neither male nor female condoms are FDA approved for anal sex. Okay, so that could be a problem because we're teaching anal sex and we're teaching condom use for anal sex. Now, I looked into this a lot deeper, and before I was a teacher, I used to work for the Orange County Department, Probation Department. So I was actually on the team that helped write the AIDS prevention program. So I do have a little bit of background with this, and I did a lot of research on this. So what I did is I looked into, there's an HIV activist, a national activist who is gay, very highly recommended by LGBT organizations, and he did a thorough research on condom use and said they are not FDA approved. And the reason is because he had a gay magazine for 5 years. He wanted to advertise condoms in his magazine, of course, and he was denied. And he couldn't believe that he would be denied advertising condoms in a gay magazine. So he went on a research on this and found out that condoms are not FDA approved for anal sex. And the reason for that is CDC 2013, the last study done on condoms for anal sex, says that condoms are for anal sex are only 70% efficient when used 100% of the time correctly. 100% of the time. So my problem when I read through the curriculum is all the efficacy stats that were given for anal sex were actually the vaginal stats. So they were not differentiating between anal sex and vaginal sex in the stats. And I find that very misleading and not serving our students. They need to be given the facts. And it needs to be medically accurate, and it needs to be FDA approved. Now, I did bring this up to staff, so they added a line in here saying, make sure to mention to your students that condoms are not FDA approved for anal sex. And I do appreciate that, but it is not in any of the handouts that the students are going to get. We're relying on the teachers to remember that very, very important fact. And in mentioning that these are teacher-created curriculum, here, when you say that, you might think it was customized, but teacher-created, as far as what I see here, is that we pulled out pages for Teen Talk. So now it's customized because we pulled out pages. Okay, that's good, but it's not like we customized it and rewrote it. Let's be clear on that.
This whole thing, the way I see it is, unfortunately, we all live in California. The matter. Okay, I'll make a motion to delay this until the fall. I don't know when in the fall because I think there's some work to be done to this curriculum.
And I do want to address a few things because I think this is a time to bring out information. In that you mentioned the Ashwig that it was not considered medically accurate, and I believe you were looking at the high school Teen Talk.
They have it for high school, middle school, and elementary.
Okay, because so middle school is 100% compliant to the law at the top. Recommended teen talk is considered the top. So it, when we talk about not following the law, and when we talk about some of these inaccuracies that we had at Chalk Hospital, some of our top experts look at, as well as other doctors that I had look over this, they have said it is not medically accurate. So what I am saying is that if we were, I am not in fear of breaking the law over 8329. Why? Because this curriculum breaks the law. I am serious. I am very concerned. The law says you have to teach contraceptives that are FDA approved. And they are not FDA approved. And by the way, 2013, the CDC stat, I thought, okay, maybe that's the last study that was done. I'm going to verify this. So I emailed the senior manager communications director for the National Coalition of STD Directors in Washington, D.C. And I asked him, his name is Matthew Pryor. I have all the documentation. I have all the emails. And he verified, yes, it's only 70% effective for anal sex. This is very, very serious to me. Okay, I'm passionate about this because I do not want to see kids put in harm's way with inaccurate information.
Yes. Yes.
I do not want to see that. That includes our LGBT kids, okay? We want to see them have accurate information. This is for all our kids' safety and good. All of them.
Yes.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. I call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Okay, passes 6-1.
Okay. So, freedom of assembly. California thinks it has the right to tell you that you cannot opt your children out of sexual education that teaches about anal sex, incorrect information about condoms. This is not one of my favorite topics to talk about live on air, but you know what? They always claim they want people to stay out of their bedroom. Then they scream to the government, the public, and to the media, make a law to protect my bedroom responsibilities. Oh, and by the way, let's make a law so we can push it into the school in order to teach your children about anal sex, about misuse of condoms. How do you think they would respond if there was a law that forced them to, promote abstinence? Wouldn't work real well, would it? Or maybe that, I don't know, male and female chromosomes are thread-like molecules that carry hereditary information for everything from height to eye color and are made of protein and one molecule of DNA, which contains an organism's genetic instructions, which is passed down from the parents. In humans, animals, and plants, most chromosomes are arranged in pairs within the nucleus of a cell. Humans have 22 of these chromosome pairs called autosomes. How the sex is determined, humans have an additional pair of sex chromosomes for a total of 46 chromosomes. The sex chromosomes are referred to as X and Y, and their combination determines a person's sex. Typically, human females have two X chromosomes, while the males possess X and Y pairing. The XY sex determination systems found in most mammals as well as some reptiles and plants. So whether a person has XX or XY chromosomes is determined when a sperm fertilizes an egg. Unlike the body's other cells, the cells in the egg and sperm, called gametes or sex cells, possess only one chromosome. Gametes are produced by meiosis, cell division, which results in the divided cells having half the number of chromosomes as the parent or progenitor. And on that note, we'll be right back after a couple of words from our sponsors. Hang with us.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website
by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Of RTR Truth Media Group Reloaded, and today's date is June 5th, 2018. We are discussing the California school system, the sex education curriculum that goes above and beyond where it should go. When did we allow the government to become the parents, to do the job of the parents? Why did we make it okay for the government to teach our children about sex education? When did we shirk off that responsibility to teach our children? Then these groups come in and they claim that they want quote unquote equal treatment. And I'm not for discriminating against anybody, but let me tell you something. I'm not for you pushing something down my children or grandchildren's throats either. I'm sure, LGBTQ, or whatever name they are going by now, or this CAGC, would not be thrilled to know that along with their curriculum side by side, it was pushing a forced curriculum upon the children where the parents were not allowed to opt their children out of to promote abstinence. Yes, no sex until marriage. I wonder if they wouldn't be up in arms about that. Well, of course they would. The point of the matter is, it's not the school system's responsibility to teach our children about the birds and the bees. And it is not genderspectrum.org, which is the one that they are speaking about in the Orange Unified School District that is helping to be behind this education of the children, anal sex, condoms that are not proving that's going to keep them from catching STDs. But, you know, hey, let's just slip that in and pretend like it's okay, because we want children to be confused. We want them to believe that they can choose what they want to be. Well, you know, if they can choose what they want to be, all they have to do is say they're king of the world, and they are. They want to act like these individuals can change what they are just by mere thought or because they want to be, and that is not reality. They're feeding into and teaching these children, they're feeding into a psychological warfare upon our children. They're destroying the minds of the youth, and it's being allowed, and then these people want to call this law. Show me anywhere in the Constitution, whether it be the California State Constitution or the Constitution for the United States of America or the Constitution of the United States, where the government had any right to teach the children anything about sex. As a matter of fact, if you want to get specific, show me anywhere that they had the right to have a Department of Education in the first place, or where they had the right to tell others that they had to assemble with individuals they don't agree with. Because that's not constitutional either. Now, whether I agree or disagree with individuals who do or do not want to associate with them, it's irrelevant. Everybody has the right and the freedom of assembly with whom they choose. And the state has no right to try to force them to assemble with people they do not choose to assemble with. Because then you're talking about violating individual rights over some ideology that is just simply creating issues with our youth. People wonder why our youth are getting depressed and have social challenges and are in need of psychiatric drugs and are dealing with drug use and isolation and quote-unquote discrimination and suicide. Well, good Lord, look at what they're teaching these children. They're teaching them that, first of all, they don't know whether they're a male or a female. That's pretty self-explanatory. You're either XX or you're XY. And yes, there's some malformations, but they are very rare. So they teach the children, well, because you're confused, then you just get to choose what you want to be. Maybe we should get the people who are over this stuff, who seem to have mental health issues themselves. If I had a dollar for every sex that there was, I would have $2. So the CAGC, their mission, let me read to you their mission. The young people we serve feel a strong conflict between their gender, inner sense of who they are as male, female, or somewhere on the gender spectrum, and their physical sex characteristics. Feelings are irrelevant. I am saying that. That is not in our mission spot. If I feel like I'm the Hulk, doesn't make it so. Or if I feel like I'm an actress, that doesn't make it so. And if I feel like I'm, oh, I don't know, leader of the world, it doesn't make it so. Feelings are irrelevant when it comes to biology. To continue with their mission, it says, they represent an often misunderstood and marginalized population facing a high degree of risk of psychiatric and social challenges, including depression, drug use, isolation, discrimination, and suicide. In 2010, a unique consortium of professionals specializing in gender issues came together to form the CAGC. Each came with a singular purpose. Here's their singular purpose, everyone, to provide these vulnerable young people and their families with comprehensive services grounded in notions of affirmative care and support. So they admit that they're vulnerable. We know that children are not only vulnerable, they're impressionable. And parents, instead of being parents, trying to help them through the already psychological issues that they've got, oh, well, we're just going to make the psychological issue okay. It doesn't work that way. Male and female was created for procreation, to repopulate. Doesn't matter what you feel, you know, you've got girls that are girls, but they're tomboys. There's nothing wrong with that. They like doing what guys do. Doesn't make them a guy. Same with guys. They like doing things more of what females like to do, but that doesn't make them a female. And I know this is a hot topic, and this is not a bashing of anything. It is time to stop feeding into this narrative and it going through the public school system, which is creating serious psychological issues with the children. And then the ones who are confused, instead of the parents being parents and working with their children about it, they just try to make an excuse and make it okay, so that they then can change, try to force it on everybody else's views, and then wonder why their children are ostracized. Now, I don't agree with ostracizing or picking on kids or any of this stuff, but the point of the matter is, the ones feeding into this frenzy are the adults. The ones feeding into this frenzy are the corrupt politicians that are lining their darn pockets. They're making quote-unquote laws, which are not laws, they're codes, they're statutes, and they're unconstitutional. Throw them out the door. Quit allowing them to brainwash our children. So, in continuing on genderspectrum.org, about their mission, it says, the center offers patients and their families an integrated and coherent set of services. Medical, young adulthood, empowering families to more effectively plan for the current and future needs of their gender-diverse children. Through a unified network of multidisciplinary professionals, the center serves to develop and provide best clinical practices, create greater acceptance of gender diversity in schools and other institutions, and provide advocacy, influence public policy, and conduct research aimed at enhancing the healthy development and well-being of transgender and other gender expansive children, adolescents, and young adults. This is another way of saying they are experimenting on our children through the public school system. These people are involved with it, and it is being allowed. Now, I will say this. I was very glad to hear about the emergency meeting that was held on May 30th. I was very glad to hear the parents that stood up against it. And I was very glad to hear from, I can't remember the lady's name right this second, but she was on the Orange Unified School District Board that spoke out against this. You're talking about misinformation when it comes to condoms, which could possibly cause the spread of STDs. Another concern, of course, is 51932B. It can be for any grade level, everyone. Listen to this. Parents do not need to be notified ahead of time when instruction is given. Are you kidding me? This is not just ungodly, it's unethical, it's immoral. When did we allow it to become, and it's been a long time, but when did we allow it to become forcing other individuals who do not believe a certain way to take other people's courses? If you want to be gay, or you want to be transgender, or you want to be whatever it is you want to be, here's the kicker. Do it in your own home. Stop telling everybody in the United States of America that we have to agree with what you are doing. We don't. And stop telling everybody in the United States of America, well, we must teach our children so that you can feel more comfortable in what your decision for your life was. Clearly, you do not feel that way about straight people or anybody else, for that matter. Do you take it upon yourself to make sure that the straight people feel comfortable around you? Or that maybe they don't want to have their children out while you're doing a parade and y'all are half naked on the street? Maybe we don't want our children to see that. You see, it's not going to be a one-way street, and it has been for too long. The point of the matter is, individuals who are truly gay, and I know quite a few, they don't flaunt what they do in the private part of their bedroom out to the public. It's that simple. The ones who are doing that and trying to enforce laws and trying to force other children to be indoctrinated with this junk, it is not about quote unquote LGBTQ rights. It's not about individual rights. You already have the right to do what you want to do in your own home. Don't force it down the throats of others that don't want to do it or don't want to deal with it. Stop trying to make enforced policies on everybody else. It's not okay. It's not okay for a straight couple to go out there and just, you know, flaunt their stuff. You don't see straight couples going up and saying, well, you need a policy teaching in school that it is only okay for a man and a woman to be together, and you must make it law, and it must be taught in school because everybody would be up in arms. But it's okay for LGBTQ. And it's okay for CAGC to push this agenda in the schools. But it's not okay to teach abstinence. It's not okay to teach that there's male and female. You know, no matter what you wish in your mind, doesn't make it so. And instead of feeding into psychology, which of course this is always going to lead back to, psychology. So these individuals are going to make tons of money because they're going to screw people's heads up. Then they get to deal with the psychology of it. And then they get some more money because they get to try to mutilate your children's bodies because they think they may be a different sex. Because other people are telling them this, 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 and this. You know, kind of like some people at one point were told, oh, it's okay to just have sex with whomever you want and blah, 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 blah. And then a whole bunch of STDs happened. And then they said, well, maybe that's not such a wise idea. How many people died from AIDS and STDs, though, before they admitted that really wasn't such a good idea to push that. You know, free love and peace and all. So the centerpiece of the CAGC is the CAGC Clinic. It is housed in the Division of Pediatric Endocrinology at the UCSF Benoff Children's Hospital. It says our clinic brings together experts from within and outside of the UCSF to provide comprehensive care and support to our patients. The CAGC Clinic is one of the only handful of such programs in the United States and the only program in the country that offers comprehensive medical and psychological care, as well as advocacy, education, and legal support to gender-expansive transgender children, adolescents, and young adults. And on that note, I'll be back with a couple of words after our sponsors.
Welcome to the place of the lips, hypocrisy.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel: great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer: it works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Upon voice like a cry.
Lori Anderson on RTR Truth Media Group Reloaded. Today's date is June 5th, 2018. Thank you for joining me this evening. We are discussing the Orange Unified School District and the parents and teachers who've stood up against this quote-unquote sex education curriculum. You know, you have sex education, and then you have just perversion. And that is what is going on in the state of California, and CAGC is connected to it. Like I said, the psychological aspects of it, of course they want more individuals confused because then they get more dollars sending children to therapy. They sell more drugs, like we've covered many, many times, Seroquel and the such, known to cause suicidal tendencies, homicidal tendencies, and people wonder why we are having a problem. Now, individual choice, I am all for, but children need to be molded and taught. And the children who are confused at such a young age is because they are being taught by adults to be confused. And all of the stuff coming out of mainstream media and Hollywood and everything else is teaching, sexualizing our children, not allowing them to even be children anymore. And then the parents, instead of standing up and being parents, well, they just want to be their friends and they want to understand instead of guide them in the right direction. You know, if a child misbehaves and you correct that child, that doesn't mean that you don't love them. It means you do love them. When they get older, if you don't correct them, they end up in prison for murdering somebody. And the first thing the police say is that you should have been disciplined as a child. On that note, we'll be right back after a couple words from our sponsors, and then we'll open up the phone lines. What are your thoughts? All right, we'll be back. Welcome to the face of the new democracy. Here in the land of the not-so-free.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.